to the administration updates. And I think we're going over to Matt Collier to give a presentation on this. Off you go, Matt.
Thank you, Andrew. The following three items are items that I already report to the board. They monitor them and have found no issues with them. The first item I'll come on to is the key performance indicators that's in paper E. I don't think there's anything too drastic to mention here apart from paying for benefits and benefit estimate members. The issue is for January that we didn't actually provide 100% is firstly because I didn't get to complete the task on time, so it was out of date, but we've actually completed the work in time. And for benefit of estimates for members, it was because old tasks were completed, so one of my staff didn't put a new task on for me to complete, to confirm I approved it, and it was obviously recorded outside of our KPI time scale. I don't think there's anything else to mention there. Does anybody want to ask any questions on the KPIs?
Any questions there? No, please.
No. The next item is employer compliance statistics. Not too many issues here. In January returns, we had Caterlink, who do Cowes Enterprise College, were late in submitting their return only because they submitted the incorrect return for that month. We now have the correct return for it. And MHR, we do have a slight issue with them at the moment. There is a dispute between them as payroll provider and the employer. And we have had a payment, but we are still waiting for the documents to confirm that payment from them. But that has been closely monitored by my team. Does anybody have any further questions on that?
My impression is that the latest payments are improved.
Yes, yes, they are. Yeah. Yeah. Much improved.
Good.
Final topic, the probably the most important one to my team is the iConnect project, which I have now implemented a project leader, which is Leo. I'm sure many of you know Leo Atkinson-Goff, who is now driving the project forward. He is now engaged with all employers through email to start with. We have 9 who have actually engaged back with us from that initial 33. 7 of those have completed their onboarding document. And I'm really pleased to say we now have 3 employers live on iConnect submitting data through the system, right? Which is a real positive because it's taken us a long time to get to this stage. But Leo's been an absolutely sterling job driving this forward for us. With regards to the IOY Council, we are currently still configuring the file. There's still a few minor tweaks that we've got to do. We'll be having to use Avsoft to an outside company to support ICT with that. Leo is having weekly calls with them to get the result sorted. He's also testing the data through the iConnect system for the IOY Council, and we hope to have the IOY Council go live 31st of March, hoping that Avsoft and our ICT actually come up with the resolutions of those issues. So that is what we plan to do. So hopefully when I report back next time, we'll have the success that the IOY Council data will actually be onboarded.
Matthew, sorry, could you just explain what iConnect is doing, what the purpose of it is, and what it's going to save your team having to do, and how we're ensuring that it's going to make...
iConnect is a piece of software that links into the Altair pension system. What it does is an employer submits their data on an online portal. That data is validated by the system, and then it automatically uploads the Altair pension system. Currently what we do is we receive an online submission through a spreadsheet. We then have to put that spreadsheet through the system, and we have to validate and go back and query all the documents. The the employer will have to make sure that all the information submitted through the portal is correct, otherwise the portal will kick it back and tell them they have to go back and reassess the information they're putting through. So from our point of view, bear in mind we've gone through a massive data improvement, this should going forward solve a lot of any data issues that we have, because the system will actually make sure that we have the correct data going through the system without any manual intervention.
So effectively this is the member's name, contact details, the name and identifier, their salary, their pension contribution, their hours, their service, wherever they work, so the whole of their membership data. And the benefit of this going through electronically is if there is a difference between member one in May, for example, and member one in June, that they've got a massive salary increase or they've got no hours or whatever, anything's changed, the system will flag that there is a change and it will identify that some more information needs to be provided by the employer. So we can chase that information on a monthly basis rather than waiting to the end of the year and noticing that there was a difference in May between May and June and having to go back and try and retrospectively correct that. So it should ensure that we've got very good data coming in from the employers and putting the duty back on the employer to provide the fund with correct data rather than the fund identifying that there are issues and having to go back and chase it. So it's a real positive attitude, and it should mean that our data scores and our data quality is much better on an ongoing basis, and we won't have to do this retrospective correction of data that we've had to go through over the last 18 months.
It will also support valuation for the next time, because obviously we've undergone a massive data improvement plan for valuation. The data we know, therefore, we're getting is correct. But also, on an annual basis, our end-of-year returns will be just another month. So the time saving for the team and for the employers is going to be massive. Mm. It also means that we will be able to get our ABSs out quicker from the 31st, and the benefit statement, sorry, out quicker to our members, because our deadline is the 31st of August. It means that once we've submitted the March data, we can then start to actually provide the online and benefit statement to the individual. Equally, if the member wants to go on to our member self-service and look at their records, the record will be up to date as of that month. Therefore, it will give them an actual up-to-date retirement figures that they actually can download.
Okay, we are the pension fund committee, but there is a separate committee that meets, which is the pension board, which I was compared to by the scrutiny committee. And I've got a suggestion here, which is to ask the pension board that they will consider this project and report back to this committee for that.
Effectively, the board's responsibility, the committee has responsibility for all aspects of the pension fund's administration, governance, funding and investment. But the board is a specialised, dedicated resource that can assist in ensuring standards of governance and administration. As this is a key functionality of the administration system, this is something that the board could spend a lot of time getting to the depth of and managing, not managing, but scrutinising the project and making sure that it's monitoring, thank you, that it's running appropriately. And the board can then report back to the committee to say, as part of their scrutiny, they are looking at it and we're on schedule or we're behind schedule, etc., etc. But it gives the committee the assurance that the project is being managed and monitored appropriately, and giving you confidence that the standards of administration and membership data are as high as they can be.
Vanessa, first, can I come to you, Chris?
I'm just going to say, I think congratulations are in order. But, I mean, it does seem to be working out. I have just one query. On the total number of pensioners, it's 5,000, isn't it? According to your figures.
Which page are you on, Vanessa? Sorry?
Page
E5.
E5, yeah.
It says pensioner payroll. I'm not sure, does that include teachers? No, no, it's pure.
Also, there's a few fire pensions in there as well. So that would go for a
May I ask, how many people currently are employed on the pension scheme? Have we got
It is approximately, if you look at page G6, if you look at, this is the total number of employees. For all of the employers, there's a column that says 4,119. Right. So we've got approximately 4,100 active members, of the which is employed by the council, the town and parish councils, this college and the academies, etc., etc. So across those various employees.
I find that an interesting figure because it means only virtually 100 difference between pensions right there and people who are actually supporting those pensions. And I would love to know from Hyams how close the gap needs to be or how far apart the gap needs to be. Thank you.
Can I just go back on that one? Very quickly. We do, as part of the valuation, look at the maturity of the fund, so effectively the proportion of active members compared to the to pensioners. We are what's classed as a mature fund, so we have more people in payment of pension than are contributing. So the key issue with that is around our cash flow for contributions coming in to pay out benefits on a monthly basis. So we do look at that, and Joe monitors that on a regular basis, and we do consider that as part of our investment strategy, which is why we're also looking in the investment strategy of moving from some growth assets into some income assets, where we can draw regular income to support and complement our cash flow income going through on a monthly basis from contributions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chris?
Just on this issue five basic risks with nothing in the solution box.
Which page are you on? Which page?
So G7.
The
risk issue box. We've identified quite a few as reds, and the red ones don't seem to have any solutions identified. I'd just like a bit of assurance that they will have.
Yes. Yeah, I've just asked Leo to update it for me. So we have sent
to item 7.